Thank you so much. Good morning. It's nice to see everybody here. And I'm just going to go ahead and get started without any further ado. I have nothing to disclose, but I felt that I needed to say that our school-based health center, which pays for 40% of my faculty salary, is supported by HRSA grants. So what this is about is really identification of a problem and going through the identification of the problem and using focus groups. That was not an easy process. Those of you who have done qualitative research and use focus groups, and this was made a little bit more difficult with the topic of sex and the use of adolescents that are minors. So, what was the problem? When I started, and I've been in this position for almost 6 years ago, when I started, I did a lot of ninth grade physicals, and the kids would come to me, and I would, of course, feel the need to discuss sex. And are you having sex? Are you doing, you know, safe practices, et cetera? And in general, and I'm generalizing here, the ninth graders would say, oh my gosh, no, that's gross. No, I'm not going to do that. No, you know, not even on my radar screen. And then in 1 or 2 years later, they would be knocking on my door for pregnancy tests, STD testing. They are like 4 or 5 months pregnant and they haven't told anyone. So that like put off this red flag for me, like what is going on here? So many students felt comfortable, and I have a very good relationship and I love my adolescents. So it was a very comfortable relationship, and they felt that they could come to me, and we discussed the problem. So there was also an education deficit, as you can imagine, with these teenagers. So looking at the problem a little bit more and trying to figure out what is going on here, looked at teen pregnancies. We all know that the teen pregnancy rate is dropping throughout the United States. However, the United States is still one of the highest countries that should have a lower pregnancy rate. We're even have a higher pregnancy rate than Canada does. And I think we're all familiar with that and the rate of STDs, et cetera. One of the things that is important is that we looked at our national, our state, and our local data. And the population that I deal with, the adolescents, we know that from 15 to 24, highest rates of STDs and specifically chlamydia and gonorrhea in this community. And actually, this community had this suburb and this county in the state of Illinois had the highest rate of chlamydia, actually, yes, chlamydia, for this age group. So it was a real problem. And we, the school itself, was a marginalized school, and it has been on the federal register for high-risk watches and low performance and lack of progress for probably almost 10 years, actually over 10 years now, today, over 10 years. And 2 years ago, we were the worst performing school academically in the state of Illinois. So we've come up one notch in the last year from that. So there were many, many problems. So it was easy. I got together with my colleagues in the school-based health center. I have co-medical directors. One is a pediatrician specializing in adolescent health. Another is a family practice. Talked with some of the other faculty that are involved, the program director, our mental health social worker, even our dietitians, et cetera, because we have a very team, multidisciplinary approach at the school-based health center. And we said, okay, there's a problem. We'll just, you know, implement a program. Of course, whatever we pick will work, and everyone will want to attend because it'll be so fantastic, and then the problem will be solved, and the world will be good, and we can all go on again. However, we know that when pigs fly, that will happen. So what do we know? We went back and reviewed the literature, and I had, when I started, in my faculty position at this university, I attended the new faculty orientation, and I had met an ed psych person, Dr. Gina Coffey, and we realized that we had similar trajectories in our research interests, et cetera, and so over the years, we had been communicating and saying, what should we do? So she actually became a colleague on this research, and the two of us are co-PIs, and we worked, and it really was a learning experience for me to get that educational piece of it, and for her as well to get that medical piece of it. So we looked and we knew that culturally sensitive and accurate assessments are really essential before you develop and or choose an evidence-based intervention program. This is especially challenging in an underserved and diverse minority and a minor population. So it's a minority and a minor adolescent population. And that the evidence-based intervention programs that work have really been targeted at middle school students. So I was seeing the high school students, and the ones that really work the best are targeted at middle school students in terms of outcomes. So we needed to plan, and we needed to look at the community, and we needed to kind of determine what is the community's perception of the problem. The community is primarily African American, some Latino, a very low economic, socioeconomic environment, mostly blue-collar workers, but mostly unemployed. The health programs we have many, no insurance. I mean, not even underinsured, no insurance. And we have the rest are pretty much on public assistance, or there's a small amount with private commercial insurance. So we needed to figure out what the community wanted, what the community perceived as the problem. So we needed, of course, as all of us know, a theoretical framework. So we used Azen's theory of planned behavior, and we really wanted to look at the attitude towards the behavior, the perceived social norms regarding the behavior, and the perceived control that the adolescents felt that they had in regards to the behavior. And that goes along with Azen's theory. One of the things that we had difficulty with, however, was actually using Azen's theory and coming up with our structured interview protocol, as you'll see. But we were able to do that, and we pulled from his theory to develop that structured interview protocol. So where do we start? We knew that we needed involvement from the community, the parents, the teachers, all of these people that are stakeholders in the community that were going to help us be successful. And of course, the students themselves and the school administrators, which is a hurdle oftentimes in and of itself. So we needed to pull the community together for a common process and a common purpose. And we needed structured but free flow of ideas, which really made us think that we needed this qualitative type research. And it needed to be culturally sensitive and accurate. And it really was a portrait of their combined local perspectives. However, it was challenging. This is a community of primarily underserved African American adults and adolescents, and they tend to, as we know, as research shows us, it's more difficult to get minority groups to participate in community-based research. So we did have some difficulty, but I was able to really engage people and get them to help us out with this because I do a lot of educational things, a lot of community education, and had personal relationships with many of the stakeholders. So our research team was nurse-led. We had gone through the IRB approval, et cetera, and all of that. The instrumentation, as I said, we used Azen's theory of planned behavior, and we used a structured focus group protocol. We came up with 23 questions based upon literature review, and we wanted, the purpose of this was to elicit information about the community's perceived norms, beliefs, and attitudes, as well as for the community to recommend programs, things that would work, the things that they felt would be successful, not what we felt would be successful. So we, of course, had some demographics, and then we used four items from the YRBS to elicit current behaviors of the adolescents. And because we were focusing on the young adolescents, those in middle school, that's where we really believe that we need to have an intervention focused on to make a difference longitudinally as they enter high school and complete their high school years. We elicited that information from 10 to 14-year-olds in these focus groups. So we used the consensual qualitative research framework, and if you're familiar with that, all I can say is it is a lot of coding, auditing, coding, auditing, coding, auditing, codebook, review, audit, and come up with the themes. So it really was garnered from this carefully defined sample of participants. We used a standardized protocol. The research team consisted of myself, Dr. Gina Coffey, the ed psych person, and one of her PhD students. So we used this standardized protocol. We came up with many times consensus judgment, and the data, as I said, was coded many times, abstracted, comparisons made, and we had many conference calls and face-to-face meetings to come up with the consensus that is needed throughout the process. So what were the challenges? The recruitment of minors was a huge challenge, especially in this sensitive research project, and the topic being sex. Sex, sex, sex does not make parents want to say, oh, please take my child into your research program. That was a huge challenge, and we getting informed parental consent was also a challenge. Having culturally sensitive moderators. All three of us on the research team are white, Caucasians. One is part Latino, but more what perceived as a white Caucasian adult female. So we needed to find culturally sensitive, and by that we recruited from friends and students and fellow faculty members and found African-American moderators. We had multiple meetings, and then the transcription services were a little bit more costly than we had planned on, as well as the incentives for the focus groups. So the ethical challenges were that they were mixed group of adolescents, both boys and girls, which for the first 10 minutes of the group was very difficult for them to come up with feeling open enough to talk about sexual practices. So that was one thing that we kind of had to get over. There was different levels of sexual maturity and experience, so a lot of definitions had to be laid on table early on. Parents of the youth who participated sometimes would question their children about what did you say, what did so-and-so say, what happened in your group. And we had to tell them that, you know, that was not acceptable, that what went on in the group stays in the group. And then one other challenge was that there were people in the adult group who really felt strongly one way or another in terms of their beliefs and tended to monopolize the focus group. And those who have moderated focus groups know that that is truly a challenge to keep things on base. So lessons that we learned, time, plan, plan, plan. We needed to plan for location, incentives, transcripts, review. It was very time-consuming, but it was very rewarding in the end. One thing that we learned is many reminders are necessary. This is a population that does not have regular cell phones. They get the cell phones that you pay for by the week, by the month, and then their number changes. So it was very time-consuming to follow up and remind them that, yes, you completed the consent, this is when it is, etc. Many times I would actually see the people in the community and remind them that way. So we had to be very flexible, but again, we could not deviate from our IRB. The outcome was that we had 9 focus groups, 38 participants. It took us 18 months. What I thought we would do in 6 months took 18 months. We actually have developed a community-specific intervention program, or we haven't developed it. We have decided upon 2 evidence-based community specific and focused intervention programs. And what we will do is we will develop this relationship with the other school district, the middle school district, to develop a longitudinal plan with the intervention program in the middle schools and follow these students for 5 years throughout their high school program. So clearly, the lessons that we learned were to clearly articulate the program, the problem identified, the purpose of the focus groups, describe to the expectations to the parents or the caregivers of the kids, pick your moderators really well, make sure that your moderators are of similar ethnic and racial backgrounds, and the process of anonymity is very important. So genuine participation in research by low-income populations really requires tremendous time and effort by the researchers. Things like transportation, daycare or child care, incentives, confidentiality, and getting those informed consents for minors, especially in sex related area, is sometimes a challenge but very important. So thank you very much. I love the seals. That's my most favorite thing in San Francisco. So